Call this Wednesday, April 10th, 2024, Planning Zoning Commission meeting to order. I am Richard Vineyard, and I'll be presiding over the meeting tonight. May I have a roll call, please?
Yes. Williams is absent. Forrestal?
Here.
Hyatt is absent. Goins?
Here.
Millen?
Here.
And Vineyard?
Here.
Thank you.
Very good. Are there any questions or amendments from the previous meeting minutes from Wednesday, March 13th, 2024? Hearing is there none, can I get a roll call vote on the motion, please?
Yes.
I need a motion to approve.
Yes.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Forrestal?
Yes.
Goins?
Yes.
Millen?
Yes.
And Vineyard?
Yes. All right, the minutes are approved. All right. Are there any citizens' comments from the public tonight regarding a topic not on tonight's agenda? Okay. Seeing as there are no comments from the public, we will be moved to the next item on the agenda. There is one public hearing scheduled for tonight's Planning Zoning Commission meeting. The purpose of this hearing is to invite testimony from the members of the public regarding the proposed request that is being considered before the commission tonight. Public testimony from persons present who wish to speak may be for or against the request or to ask questions of the petitioner regarding the request being heard. Those persons wishing to testify are asked to speak clearly, one at a time, and state your name, who you represent. You are also asked to sign in at the podium right over there. If you plan to speak during tonight's public hearing as a petitioner or as a member of the public, please stand and raise your right hand and repeat after me. I state your name.
I, Daniel.
Do solemnly swear.
Solemnly swear
that the testimony I will present
that the testimony I will present
at this hearing is
the truth
the whole truth
and nothing but the truth.
You can have your seats. Thank you. All right, the order of testimony during the public hearing will be as follows. We're going to do the petitioner's presentation, those that who wish to speak in favor of, and then those who wish to speak in opposition of. Okay. May I have a motion to open the public hearing on petition number PZC 2024-05, United City of Yorkville, for a rezoning and special use for a solar farm.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call vote on the motion, please.
Yes. Goins?
Yes.
Millen?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
And Forrestal?
Yes.
Okay. All right, the public hearing up for discussion tonight is as follows. Cornelius Road Solar LLC petitioner on behalf of Gary L. and Betty S. Bennett. Owners has filed application with the United City of Yorkville, Kendall County, Illinois, requesting rezoning classification and special use authorization. The real property is generally located immediately north of Cornelius Road, approximately 1,700 feet east of Beecher Road, and approximately 4,300 feet west of Illinois Route 47, North Bridge Street. Consisting of 94 acres. The petitioner is requesting rezoning approval from an R1 single family suburban residential district to an A1 agricultural district. The petitioner is also requesting a special use permit approval in pursuant to section 10-8-5 of the Yorkville City Code for a solar farm. Is the petitioner for PZC 2024-05 Cornelius Road Solar LLC ready?
We are.
Thanks, Dan.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I think it's on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Sorry. Good evening. My name is Daniel J. Kramer. I'm an attorney licensed to practice law in the state of Illinois. For the record, my address is 1107 A South Bridge Street, Yorkville, Illinois. And I have the privilege tonight to be here representing NEXAM, which is the overall umbrella organization. It's a bit confusing, perhaps, if you're not used to that, underneath where it's Cornelius Road Solar LLC. They provide a separate standalone LLC here in Yorkville, but it is owned by and will be totally operated by the NEXAM network. I say I have the privilege of being here because we've represented the company before, but when you look at the presentation they make tonight, they're a large solar generator in the country. They have an excellent track record. And what many of their competitors can't tell you is they operate what they did sell. And I think that's a real plus. So if you can see this group tonight, this is the group that you're going to see down the road as well. And I think that's hugely important. they followed along the city journey of the city coming up with some solar issues like setback, how far from the road, landscaping, and so on. And even though they were filed before that ordinance was to take effect, they've observed all of those niceties. So I think you'll find them to be a good community member. I also have here tonight is Gary and Betty Bennett, the both city in the second row, right one next to one another, who actually own the land and are leasing it to NextDam. Longtime community residents, they certainly wouldn't want anything bad to happen to their property. Not all of it is going to be used for solar, so they're still going to be there. So they have a true vested interest to make sure this is something we can all be proud of. Overall, there's some great community benefits in terms of green energy, tax revenue for the area, no students added to the school district. You're going to see some slides that I thought were real powerful at the Community Development Committee meeting with Christy and with Sarah a couple weeks ago about the type of plantings they do, which I think, again, is hugely important. They're big on pollinator-type plants, so I think all of those things bode well. So I'm going to pass it off to Matt Kwiatkowski, who's the primary rep for the company, and they have their engineer here tonight as far as any technical questions. And if audience members have questions, we'll write down, and if we can, at the end, come back and try and answer those questions. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Good afternoon. My name is Matt Kwiatkowski, and I'm with NextAmp. I'm the project developer for this project, Cornelius Road Solar, LLC. We are proposing a 4.99 megawatt community solar facility, and we are seeking annexation, rezoning, and a special use permit. Advance the slide, please. Just to give you a little background about our company, we were founded by two Army veterans back in 2007, and then since 2007, we've grown exponentially. We have 475 employees today. We are now vertically integrated, which Dan mentioned. We don't only develop these projects and sell them off, but we manage the whole process through operation, decommissioning. We'll be the company, you know, involved in the whole project lifestyle cycle. We were voted number one community solar company in 2023 by Solar Power World magazine. And last year, we just completed the largest domestic module purchase in community solar history with Helene in Minnesota, which is 1,500 megawatts. And that just ensures that our panels are being produced domestically and that, you know, we don't have issues with supply chain when we want to get panels so we can get to construction faster. Next slide, please. Specific to Illinois, we started to build out our Midwest team in 2018. We've now got a Chicago office that last year we declared it our second headquarters. We've got 80 plus employees here in the state of Illinois and currently building or operating 20 plus projects statewide with 30 more in development. Our operation assets serve over 5,000 residents and small businesses in Illinois that want to subscribe for bill credits to save on their electricity. Next slide, please. So I'm just going to hash through this fairly quickly just to show where we fall kind of in the electricity generation pyramid. There was two really acts that set renewable energy here in the state of Illinois into motion. One was what was called the Future Energy Jobs Act, or FEJA, in 2017, and more recently the CEJA, which is Climate and Equitable Jobs Act, in 2021. And that's really this, you know, an act that set a standard for a renewable portfolio of 40% renewable generation by 2030 in the state of Illinois. And down below, you'll see, you know, there's utility scale solar and wind, and with coal and gas plants. That's generating, and you know, with solar, that's hundreds, thousands of acres. And that's generating of electricity that's put into the transmission lines and the power companies purchase it, and then that's shipped, you know, pretty far. If we fall on the small generation scale, so it's anything under 5 megawatts, which is kept on the local distribution grid, so the energy does stay local in the grid, and that's important in the fact that you know, this electricity is really, really stabilizing the local grid. It stays local, and so that just kind of gives you a little overview of kind of the different types of generation. Next slide.
Should be able to advance it. The little.
Sorry.
That's okay.
And then just to further expand on community solar, sometimes referred to as shared solar, it's on the distribution grid, as I said, and the energy stays local. It's free to sign up. Once it's built and generating power, the subscribers receive credits for their utility bill, a discount on their utility bill. So that's applied to their normal ComEd bill. And it allows businesses and residential customers to access solar energy, even if they can't install it on their property, whether ground mounted or roof mounted. So it allows a lot more people to be involved in renewable energy. Our engineer Michael is going to go through the site plans after I give him go through a few more slides, and I just wanted to show you some pictures of as he's going through that, like the visual. You have a visual picture of what these items are. You have the equipment pad, which Michael will point out, which will be in the center of the site, houses the transformers and the inverters. As Dan said, we are a big proponent of pollinators within the site and as a buffer. And that has a lot of benefits, not only for pollinating the birds and butterflies and things, but it also helps with reduce erosion and increases infiltration of rainwater. To the right, you'll see your typical PV modules. We typically do a farm fence, but here, you know, the standard is a chain link fence with slats, so that's the picture right there. And then we are proposing a battery energy storage system, or BESS, and that's basically a container that houses lithium ion batteries. All sites we monitor 24/7 from our, we have an operation control center, and for security reasons they do have cameras. And then to the right you'll see the posts and racking, we are using a tracker system, which basically starts out, you know, tracking the sun facing east in the morning, and as the sun moves it'll face west in the afternoon. Just to give you some examples of some of our projects that are local, close to here. Burlington, French Road Solar up in Burlington, Kane County. It's 16 acres, 2.8 megawatts, and it serves nearly 400 subscribers. We've got one in Will County. It's Goodnow Road East Solar. It's in, it's 19 acres, 2.7 megawatts, and serves nearly 400 subscribers. This is the overview of where the site's located. There's three parcels. It's located between State Route 47 and Beecher Road, kind of in the middle. The exact project location is 10791 Cornelius Road. It's made up of three parcels, as I said. The owners are Gary and Betty Bennett, and the size of all three parcels is 93 acres. Our project size is only approximately 35 and a half acres within the proposed array fence. The project capacity is 4.99 megawatts, and the expected project life is 30 to 40 years. In this particular photo, you can see where it's highlighted in yellow is the approximate location of the solar array. So to the west, we do have the old landfill, which is changes quite significantly in topography. It rises quite a bit. It's got a lot of existing trees, so it's really tucked in kind of low. And then it's set back more than 1,500 feet off Cornelius Road. So it's set back quite far. And as Dan said, there's a lot of community benefits. Not only the environmental benefits, but it's only a temporary use of farm ground. I know in our lifetime it seems like a long time, 40 years, but it is only a temporary use. We were required by the state of Illinois to put to enter into an AIMA agreement, Agriculture Impact Mitigation Act, with the State Department of Agriculture. And that ensures we protect the farm ground during construction, during operation, and during decommissioning. Things like we've got to protect the drainage, we've got to protect the topsoil, and so that agreement requires a bond that we put up with the city to ensure decommissioning. Community solar also stabilizes the grid, as I said, and helps with the electricity cost stabilization. A project of this size has utility savings for over 650 residential subscribers. And most importantly, it really adds to the tax base without adding demand for public services, as Dan said. But, you know, once this is operational, we won't have impacts on the roads or the schools or the parks. And it's also located in an area in which we're technically in a floodway, floodplain, of Rob Roy Creek. And, you know, there's not a lot of development that can occur there, you know, that could generate additional revenue other than farming. But solar is one of these uses that can be used in that kind of area. So this is a model of just the projected taxes. For year one, the current taxes for the 35 plus or minus acres is approximately $2,345. And these two, the school district and the Bristol Kendall Fire District, are the two largest taxing bodies within the almost 10% tax that the city has. So that equates to the $1,560 for the school district and $163 for Kendall Fire. Now with the solar facility, the first year we generate approximately $34,000 in aggregate tax, $22,000 going to the school, and approximately $2,000 going to the Kendall Fire District. So that's a difference of 14 times in the first year. On the right side is the projected taxes over the 40-year total. It's not that 14 as you see, because, you know, there's depreciation in the facility, but it's still a 5 times difference. We're looking at $176,000 over 40 years currently, and then, you know, with the solar facility, approximately $900,000. So just to review some due diligence that we did to date, we selected the site, executed the lease with the landlord. We've done all of our surveying. We've had pre-application discussions with the city, as well as we obviously here tonight. We've done utility studies. We do have an agreement with ComEd for interconnection, so the project is real. It's been studied, and we have an agreement with them to hook into the grid. We've done SHPO consultation, that's State Historic Preservation Office consultation, that looks at things like archaeology and historic resources. No impact there, endangered species, no impact. We've done a wetland delineation, there's no wetlands on site, there is the stream, the Rob Roy Creek, in which we are crossing, and we're working with the IDNR on a nationwide permit for a culvert replacement, as well as the floodplain permit. We've done consultation with the Federal Aviation Administration, no impact there. Done a natural resource inventory, and as I said before, we've entered into an agreement with the Department of Agriculture for the with the AIMA agreement. And now I'll hand it over to our engineer of record, Michael with Atwell, to talk specifically about the site plan.
Good evening. For the record, I'm Michael Keith. I'm the civil engineer of record for this project. Our office is located at 1250 East Deal Road in Naperville. What we have up on your screen right now is a site layout. First off, I want to draw your attention to the setbacks. We are required to be 50 feet off the property line and 100 feet from the public right-of-way for all the panels and electrical equipment. And this is in order to meet the new ordinance that was recently approved, as Dan mentioned. So we've adhered to the new setbacks that are required. And as you can see from the exhibit in the lower left corner, we're meeting those setbacks. We get close in the back of the property, but the intent of our site layout is to push everything as far away from the right-of-way as we can. Also on the site layout, you'll see that we've strategically placed the equipment pads in the middle of the site, and that's to keep them as far away from the property lines as we can. We also are utilizing the existing access on Cornelius Road. There's an existing farm access. We'll actually have some good pictures of that access on later slides, but we're utilizing that access rather than getting a whole new access point on Cornelius Road. And then we also are dedicated to providing all wires on the ground to the point of interconnection where it will transition up across the right of way. You'll see those poles on the southern end of the property near the access point where we transition up. And as Matt mentioned, Rob Roy Creek does run through our site. It runs north and south. We are currently working with IDNR to get all the nationwide permits through that for the wetlands, with the Corps. And we are in current conversations with the Rob Roy Creek District, so drainage district, so they know what we're doing. We're going to work with them with our final site plans to make sure they're okay with what we're doing. The only change we're doing is we're going to widen our access across. There's currently a culvert there. We will widen the culvert, but we're keeping the size and everything the same, so we're not planning on impacting the creek at all. This sheet here shows our landscaping plan. Within the fenced-in area, we're going to, as Matt mentioned, they're utilizing the site-specific pollinator mix. The seed mix not only helps us stabilize the site and provide eco-friendly ground cover, but it helps support bees and other insects. It also helps satisfy the county stormwater management ordinance requirements. The pollinator mix has a lower runoff coefficient and a higher time of concentration than the existing row crops. Together with the reduced runoff, and as we've seen on another site, we're probably going to still need a stormwater management basin to help satisfy the Kendall County stormwater management ordinance. But the size of the pond is reduced drastically because we are reducing the flow greater grand scheme of things. Now, we also plan on utilizing the existing trees along the creek beds. We're not taking those down. We're trying to keep as many in place as we can to help provide the natural screening of the facility. And then we are providing additional screening along our southern edge of our property, on the southern edge of the fence line, to help screen it additionally. And we are going to be surrounded by an 8-foot tall chain link fence with privacy slats. This is an existing picture right now. It's from Cornelius Road looking north from the site. We're kind of west of the access road, but we're kind of looking back into the corner. You can kind of see the tree lines kind of on all sides, on the west side of our property. This is a picture. You can kind of see the access road in the background. Existing vegetation we plan on keeping that runs along the access road, and that will remain those existing tree line. And you'll see in the foreground is corn, so that area still is going to be planned to be farmed. So you'll have the corn, and you'll have probably corn and soy switching back and forth as we always see, but it's still planned to be farmed where we are not providing the solar array field. Here's a picture of the access road looking up. We do have plans to improve that access road. It's not going to be a dirt road. It will be gravel. We'll make sure we level it out, place it with gravel. But you can see from that access point, you can barely see where we're at in the background. Here's kind of another picture. We wanted to show a picture in the winter so that you can see all the crops and the trees. If you look, you can kind of see a green area in the back. That's actually our solar facility kind of superimposed on what it would look like. What you see there is actually the buffer that we're planning on planting. That's what the trees at full maturity. And there is a mix of evergreen trees in there, so it will give a permanent buffering through the winter months by this deciduous tree to not have leaves on it. So we are trying to buffer the facility as much as we can from Cornelius Road. And then here's another picture. This is actually the same picture with the superimposed image in the back. This is in the summer months when we got the crops and the trees on there. You can kind of see it just kind of blends in with the natural area of the site. As Matt mentioned, we did enter an agreement with AIMA. Part of that AIMA agreement is we do a decommissioning. A decommissioning of the site, and with that we'll include the steps that are required to decommission the site, which are you remove all panels, racking piles, remove all equipment, remove concrete pads and foundations. We'll do a site stabilization at the end, do decompaction, which means any construction vehicles that drive over it. We'll kind of till the land, make sure the new seeding takes hold, and we'll remove and recycle all materials. What we've seen with kind of doing these estimates, it actually, with all the equipment that's recycled, you almost make a profit when you decommission it. So I mean, there's actually a benefit in decommissioning and recycling all the materials. And this will be, we will provide a cost estimate to the city, which we will provide a bond for this for 25 years out, so that if the landowner or the developer defaults, the county can use that bond to come in and decommission the site. This last picture is a really nice picture of the pollinators on another one of the next dam sites. You can kind of get an idea of what it looks like. You can see the vegetation coming in and the native flowers coming in that will help with the bee populations. Provide a good stabilization. With that, we will close. Okay. With that, we'll end. We're here to answer any questions. And
yeah. Do you want your responses added to the record?
Your standards.
Your standards.
And your application?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Please. All right. Is there anyone present who wishes to speak in favor of this proposal? Sure.
Your time. My name is Jerry Golick, Jerome Golick. I live at 2793 Gaines Court here in Yorkville. I've been representing our community, which is right now about 205, 210 units, give or take, which is going to grow to about 290 units plus. The HOA is currently under the development, but will be turned over to the citizens of our community probably within the next couple of months. They're preparing the documents now, so I can't say that I'm on the HOA or the board, but I will be. Not opposed to the farm, solar farm, but we just want to raise some concerns and thoughts for consideration before moving with the annexation agreement. It's my understanding that the Planning and Zoning Commission considering annexation of the land north of Cornelius Road along Route 47. Is this the best and highest use for this land, given its prime location near Route 47? Did you consider the delta between the difference of R1 residential or rezoning it to industrial commercial versus going back to A1 agricultural with special use? Based on my readings, this would be a revenue loss. Can the city continue to take these revenue losses? Our taxes here are large to begin with. With two other solar farms approved, this would be the third, if approved by the city council. Before approving this, have you considered how the energy savings will be distributed to its residents? Has there been a thought splitting savings to its homeowners, industrial or commercial? It was mentioned 650 residential. Is that homeowners? Is that multifamily? Is a residence considered industrial building, commercial building, just what? Again, I'm a senior on fixed income and live in a development. When completed, of about 290 homes targeted 55 plus, in which a majority of the residents are retired on fixed income. There are other similar communities as well, similar to ours. With these, with taxes high and utilities on the rise above cost of living, can there be consideration of distribution of solar energy savings to senior residents on fixed income to offset the continuing rise in water rates due to the installation of Lake Michigan water sources? We all know that's going to go up. It's going to be there. It's going to greatly be greater than the cost of living. We all know that. We accept it. Realize it's going to be. In a letter written by Kathleen Field Orr, city attorney, she had some interesting questions regarding the city trying to restrict use of land by no more than, I believe, 5 farms is what their first thought was. She states, as among other things, what is unclear is the basis of such a restriction. It is because solar farms generated minimal real estate taxes, because solar farms do not create much job opportunity, but with regard to taxes or jobs, how are solar farms different from not-for-profit organization? Are all solar farms the same that a prohibition would apply to it? Would the restriction apply to community solar farms? I would suggest that a study be made of restrictions of the location, size, and proximity to resident communities to allow the city to prevent a proliferation of solar farms, which could have a negative impact on the community. She mentions revenue loss and taxes. Can the city afford the revenue loss or do the right thing by its distribution to its citizens? I think this must be considered. These should all be considered before approving any annexation of this land as a solar farm. I thank you for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else that would like to speak in favor of the request?
I live between just east of the current property that you're talking about, between there and MacArthur property. So I just had a few questions, concerns. I see where the map is going around towards the back of the property, and I see the nice pictures that you presented with all the foliage. I don't know if you're aware, but last month or 2 months ago, they ripped out about 3,000 trees all along there. So there's none of that exists anymore that you just put up there. So my concern is being right on the edge across the creek. I don't really want to be looking at that or an 8-foot slatted chain link fence. It's not why I moved here. Taxes just went up another 10% this year. The roads are trashed. There's trucks running up and down that access road nonstop all day long, whether it's Yorkville, removing branches or burning them in the back, bringing down the trees, regrading the road, whatever. I guess I'm just concerned if we're living there for that and what can be done. You said you would be a good neighbor. Maybe we could build a large berm, put up some trees, I don't know. Also, I'm kind of speaking on behalf of Joan MacArthur. I think some of that's going to come around the back of her property. And we were concerned about, are we going to be annexed into Yorkville, being that we're Plano? No. Those were pretty much my concerns. So hopefully we can work together on a solution because there's a lot of traffic there. So that's all. Thank you.
All right. Anyone else want to speak in favor of it? Okay. Is there anyone present who wishes to speak in opposition of this request? All right. Are there any questions for the commissioner or the petitioner? Please.
Thank you. Dan Kramer, again speaking on behalf of the petitioner. Am I correct? Is it pronounced Mr. Golub?
Golub.
Golub. Okay, thank you. With regard to some of the questions he raised, certainly legitimate. We appreciate the input. That's why you have these public hearings. In terms of the use of the property, Mr. Keith, our engineer, I think gave a real good reason why this is the perfect place for a community solar system. Number one, it's a small generator. It's not thousands of acres of the array. And it's not taking any property out of taxation. It's kind of like there was an old movie, Crocodile Dundee, and Paul Hogan had a great line in it. He said, you know, the dispute you're having is like two fleas fighting over who owns the dog. Neither of them do. Yorkville isn't getting any taxation from this right now. The school district's getting a smidgen. The fire protection district is getting a smidgen. But because there's floodway and flood bridge, this property cannot be developed for residential purposes. And even more so, it can't be developed for serious industrial purposes. And this young lady who spoke is absolutely correct. If you put industrial over there, she would have a lot more traffic on Cornelius Road. And frankly, that road's not built for industrial. It's a township road. And it will become the city's responsibility when it gets annexed. So the neighbors will probably end up with better conditions road-wise than they have. Again, I think the petitioner should be commended because they've put this more than 1,500 feet back. Now, again, in her question about what will you look at, they'll work on the landscaping. And she is correct. The pictures were taken last fall before the drainage district did all of its work. But thank God the drainage district did. We've not experienced any catastrophic flood events here since. And I always forget if it's July of 1996 or July of 1998 when we had this catastrophic storm where we had over 14 inches of rainwater in less than a 24-hour period. People talk about 100-year storms, and of course it doesn't mean, as Michael can tell better than I, that it only happens once every 100 years. It's just a term of measurement. And in this part of the world, back when we had that flood, a 100-year event was 5.25 inches within 24 hours. So it's just not you multiply it times 3 at the 14. It's an exponential, never had before. And what the drainage district did was cleaned out all the kind of, not great trees, they're not solid oaks and so on, generally speaking, they're more invasive trees, so that ditch can take water and not flood a downstream subdivision like Mr. Gallick's in, or further subdivisions that are in the city. So the city was very proactive working with the drainage district in ensuring that cleaning out was done, so that if we ever get that major event, we're not floating along our houses downstream and people calling Christie and questioning the wisdom of what was built there. Just as kind of a rule of thumb, and I'm no expert, I only know from land planners where I sat in a lot of these entitlement proceedings, they'll tell you if you've got sod or turf grass in your front or backyard, you've got about a 4-inch root structure, which does almost nothing about infiltration. And this is my favorite picture and slide of this presentation. When you get this type of pollinator mix, and Gary being a hay farmer, he can tell you too with alfalfa or timothy, any of clover, those kinds of root structures go down about 4 feet and just suck up water. So this is a win-win drainage-wise for the neighbors. I don't know where to go on the aesthetics of the slatted fence, frankly. It's the city ordinance that we provide a solid fence, and so we're doing what the city provided. If you drive up 47 and turn left on Kessler Road and go to the front of Cademan High School, there's a small array right in front. They have a chain link fence so the kids don't get in it, no slats. I don't know if they're getting any heat from neighbors, but it's worked. If you go a little further in 47, just north of the intersection with 64, the Lily Lake School has now become almost a school that was going to close. Now with all the rural development, it's packed with kids. They've got their own array right out in back. No fencing, no landscaping, no nothing. I am wondering if we're going to be like solar in the next 10 years. much like we grew up with TV antennas, because I'm old, they weren't real attractive on Russell, but we all lived with it. I'm looking out this gigantic tower now that I'm sure the neighbors to it probably say, that's an ugly, gigantic tower, but you go about your business. So we can't have it both ways. We're cooperating with the city ordinance. If you said, you know, just do trees, just do a berm, we could certainly be flexible and work with you. But again, don't punish the petitioners because they're following the ordinance. And as I say, I think I agree with this gentleman about the taxes. Again, being a senior myself, I don't like it one little bit. But when you put this development in that doesn't throw one more child to school, maybe you have a SUV or a pickup once a week, once the array is built, to go on site just to drive around and check everything is working. Maybe occasionally a maintenance vehicle for the battery or the other moving parts to the facility. Other than that, it's not going to create any traffic once it's done. And the city staff has told us how they want us to bring our construction vehicles in, and that they don't want semis, which we agreed to. So all in all, I think we're trying to address all the concerns. I know, not personally, I wouldn't know if they walked in now, but Mr. MacArthur that started the horse farm out there, I met years ago when I had Harris was the city attorney here for 22 years. And he told us often about taxes in the county, but never came into the city. So the city, whenever they did anything out there, or the county, always tried to protect them landscaping-wise. They have beautiful trees on their property. So we'll try and continue that tradition in landscaping. But I think those are the major points raised, that is this the highest and best use for this property? I believe it is, because other than Gary continuing the farm, there's no other practical use for it being floodway. So I think you're getting a good bang for the buck. You don't have a high tax rate, and I know that's not something the city ever hears very much about. Actually, the city's mill and the tax bill is quite low. Water rates, not so much, but we're not going to be a heavy water user, and we're going to keep more water in the ground. There's a famous engineer who's now passed and left us that created some waste disposal system called, I'm losing his name now. I don't know, Mike, if you remember. He died well into his 80s, but he would do land recapture systems like the development up on Fabian Parkway, the Chaudine Golf Course and Development. And he used to be famous at these seminars for saying, there's not 1 ounce less of water in this planet today than there was when God made it. It's just a question of the distribution of it. And his theory was, don't, as engineers, design stuff to kick all the water to end up down in the Mississippi Delta. Absorb it on site. It's better for the infrastructures, the aquifers. And that's what these folks are doing with the deep-rooted plants. The water will stay on site, so that people like the MacArthurs and the rural people around it that have wells, their wells won't go dry because of this at all. Won't help the city deep water system. But again, there's some benefit to those surrounding farmhouses. So I'll be quiet, and professional staff will answer any questions you have. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioners, you guys have any questions for the commissioner? All right, since all public testimony regarding the petition has been taken, may I have a motion to close the taking of testimony and this public hearing?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call vote on the motion, please.
Yes. Millen?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
And Goins?
Yes.
All right, the public hearing portion of tonight's meeting is now closed. Seeing as that there are no items under unfinished business for discussion, we'll move on to new business. Staff, do you have anything to add to PZC 2024-05, Cornelius Road Solar LLC rezoning and special use request?
I do. I can just start off by saying that I appreciate the petitioner's in-depth presentation, so a lot of my comments don't have to be made, but I will emphasize a couple of things. The annexation request, as the petitioner mentioned, is going for a public hearing before City Council. So that will happen at the April 23rd City Council meeting, but just for the discussion purposes, the site is contiguous to Yorkville's boundaries. Contiguity is established immediately south of Cornelius Road with the Westbury South Village development, which is not developed but planned, and to the east, which is the Westbury East Village. So both developments are improved, but they are entitled and they are incorporated into Yorkville. The rezoning requests. As properties are annexed into Yorkville, they default to the R1 single-family suburban residential district per our ordinance. So that's why they are here seeking the rezoning request. They're rezoning to the A1 agricultural district because our unified development ordinance identifies solar fields as a special use within that zoning category. And it also fits the remainder of the land use that's being proposed. Going to the comprehensive plan to see how this development fits into the broader planning scheme of Yorkville, the 2016 comprehensive plan designated the future land use for this property as a state conservation residential. That designation is usually for subdivisions, but in 2016 comprehensive plan, we also use that designation as a holding classification for areas that we felt that, you know, they were on the outskirts of the city's perimeter, or outside of our corporate boundaries, that didn't have public infrastructure and that we didn't feel would develop within that 10-year horizon of the plan. So the proposed A1 zoning is not dissimilar to the large lot low density residential of the ERC, which is the state conservation residential future land use designation. But if approved, the city would then seek an amendment to our comprehensive plan to reflect the agricultural land use. And the special use request, the petitioner went through in great detail. Of the 94 acres, I believe, of the site, only 31 will be used for the commercial solar land use. They meet all the setbacks, as they mentioned, and that the site itself will consist of about 11,500 modules installed over that 31 acres. And the system will also have two central inverters and about one or two transformers. And they mentioned they will enter into a 20-year lease with the property owner with options to extend. The maximum height of a solar array per our ordinance is 30 feet. But they are proposing a maximum height of 20 feet for a solar array with a detailed section, racking section in your packet. We were talking about residential land uses nearby. The nearest residential land use or property line from the nearest solar panel is about 1,300 feet, and that would be to the residents located northwest on East Beecher Road. The overall solar farm project is about 2,000 feet from the nearest residentially platted parcel in the Caledonia subdivision located to the south. As the ordinance requires, a glare study was conducted. There were three observation points that were measured for glare for the proposed solar field, and none of the three observation points produced a glare in the category of a yellow or green glare at any time during daylight hours. Additionally, the city engineer is also recommending a photometric plan, which will need to be submitted as part of the final engineering plan. And we talked about fencing. They are required to provide fencing. The recommendation from staff was the 8-foot chain link fence with slats. They are also providing landscaping under the array, as they mentioned, but they're doing buffering around the perimeter as well. And then finally, we talked about the access to the site. So access is off Cornelius Road. It's going to be a 15-foot wide gravel access. It will be compacted to our standards. However, the city engineer has requested that dedication of a 40-foot right-of-way in to Cornelius Road is required as per this annexation. But we also, because Cornelius Road is not made currently at city standards, we are requiring the petitioner to, in lieu of making improvements along their frontage, we're asking them to pay the value of the roadway improvements based off our city engineer's estimate, and that those funds will be held and used for future improvements along Cornmeal's in that area. And then finally, we talked about abandoned systems. The code requires a decommissioning, not only plan, but an estimate. The petitioner has provided an estimate. Their construction estimate was about $540,000, and that's at year 25, and it includes a 3% annual inflation rate. So we are requesting that the value that the engineer has deemed acceptable be provided in the form of a security guarantee in the amount of 120% of that approved removal cost. And then it will be revised every 3 years. Staff is also recommending that a blanket easement or some type of license agreement be provided so that in the future, if the site is needs to be decommissioned and the city has to enter the site, then we would have the rights to be able to do that. I do want to mention there is a battery energy storage system planned on the site. This is outright permitted right now in manufacturing districts as a primary land use. Since this is not a primary land use, we are considering an accessory use to the battery system. I know there were some discussions with the building code official and the Bristol-Kendall Fire District. They did calculations internally to see what the thermal temperature would be at burn. They are comfortable with requiring a minimum of a 10-foot setback from all structures from this battery energy system. And I believe the petitioner is okay with that recommendation. There's engineering comments that were provided from EEI over the various iterations of the plans. We'd like to have those included as conditions of the special use. And we've presented that information in the packet in detail. There was conversation again about distance from residential. The city just amended our unified development ordinance, you remember at our last public hearing, to require that 1,000-foot buffer from the nearest array to any major roadway, as well as that 1,000-foot buffer of the array to the Fox River. This plan meets both of those minimum requirements, so we have no concerns in that. And with that, the recommendations are provided in your packet, along with the standards that the petitioner has responded to. And if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer those for you.
Do any of the Planning and Zoning Commission members have any questions for staff for the proposed request? All right. All right, may I have a motion to approve the petition PZC 2024-05 Cornelius Road Solar LLC rezoning request.
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
All right. Can you read the... Thank you.
In consideration of testimony presented during a public hearing on April 10, 2024, and discussion of the findings of fact, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommends approval to the City Council of a request for rezoning from R1 Single Family Residential to A1 Agricultural District for the purpose of constructing a freestanding solar energy system or solar farm contingent upon approval of annexation by the City Council for approximately 94 acres of existing farmland located immediately north of Cornelius Road, east of Beecher Road, and west of Illinois, about 47 North Bridge Street.
Very good. Roll call vote on the motion, please.
Yes. Vineyard?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Oh. One second. Do you have a break?
Yep, there.
So before we do this, I want to go through the steps here just to make sure through the commission that we have all of our rezoning standards taken care of. So first one, the existing uses and zoning of nearby property. Do you guys find any issues with it? Okay. Two, the extent to which the property values are diminished by the particular zoning restrictions. I don't see any. The extent to which the destruction of property values of the plaintiffs promotes health, safety, morals, or general welfare of the public. No. The relative gain to the public as compared to the hardship imposed upon the individual property owner. The suitability of the subject property for the zoned purpose. the length of time the property has been vacant as zoned, considered in the context of land development in the area in the vicinity of the subject property. The community need for the proposed use, and the care to which the community has undertaken to plan its land use development. All right. So some of the additional UDO standards, the proposed map attachment is consistent with the comprehensive plan and the purposes of the UDO.
As I explained, it's in...
Yes.
It is consistent in general
for the spirit
with a large lot subdivision, right, but we are allowed to do amendments to that.
Okay. The proposed map amendment is consistent with the existing and planned uses and zoning of the nearby properties, and the subject property is suitable for the purposes of the proposed district. All right. A couple more, we'll be done. The proposed map amendment will not result in an individual parcel zoned in one zoning district that is not shared by adjacent parcels. The proposed parcel is to be rezoned shall meet the minimum frontage and area requirements of the request in rezoning district as specified in section 10-3-9A. Okay. Can I have the roll call on that, please?
Yes. Dinyard?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Goins?
Yes.
And Millen?
Yes.
The motion is approved. May I have a motion to approve the petition PZC 2024-05 Cornelius Road Solar LLC special use request?
So moved.
Second.
Somebody like to read? Thank you.
In consideration of testimony presented during a public hearing on April 10, 2024, and discussion of the findings of fact, Planning and Zoning Commission recommends approval to the City Council of a request for special use authorization to construct a freestanding solar energy system or solar farm contingent upon approval of annexation by the City Council for approximately 31 acres generally located north of Cornelius Road, east of Beecher Road, and west of Illinois Route 47, North Bridge Street.
Do we have to put the
subject
to the staff recommendation?
Further subject to staff recommendation.
Thank you. All right, roll call vote on the motion, please.
Yes. Forrestal?
Yes.
Goins?
Yes.
Millen?
Yes.
And Vineyard?
Yes. All right, the motion is approved. We'll go over the special use standards real quick. So the established maintenance or operation of the special use will not be unreasonably detrimental or to endanger public health, safety, morals, comfort, or general welfare. The special use will not be injurious to the use, enjoyment of other property in immediate vicinity for the purpose already permitted, nor substantially diminish and impair property values within the neighborhood in which this is to be located. The establishment of the special use will not impede the normal and orderly development improved of the surrounding properties for its uses permitted in the district. Adequate utilities, access roads, drainage, or other necessary facilities have been or are being provided, which they are. Adequate measures have been or will be taken to provide ingress or egress so designed as to minimize traffic congestion on public streets. I think they've got that. And the proposed special use is not contrary to the objectives of the official comprehensive plan of the city as amended. Meets all those. On to additional business. Is there any additional business the city wants to update us on?
Yes, the text amendment has been updated specifically with section 10.4.13 alternative energy use standards.
Great, that's it?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, thank you. It's nice to hear from the other
meeting. You'll hear from our morning.
Beautiful.
Next
all right, seeing that there's nothing further, items on the agenda tonight, may I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second. All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Meeting adjourned at 7:59:23.